Well, good afternoon, everyone. As Scott said, my name's Martin. I know many of you, but I don't know all of you, which is a real joy as well to say hi to people, some faces I don't know. But it's very overwhelming for all of us who are part of Hillview and Cults to be here today and to welcome you. It's a real privilege to welcome you, especially if you're no connection to Hillview and Cults at all. We're so glad that you're here. And I heard it once said, and I thought it was a lovely way to put it, that you're not just welcome, but you're wanted. And we really mean that. The heart of this church is that we would be a blessing to this community, a help to this community, that we could provide a space, a safe space for people to be real about the joys of life and be real about the sorrows of life and to seek Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, in all things good and bad, and to encounter him and to have him meet us where we are and deal with us in his lovely, gentle, precious way that he does. And we want to do that in different ways. We've been singing, and this moment just now in the scriptures is part of that. Men's group's part of it. But we hope in coming weeks and months and years that there will be various ways that we can be a blessing to this community. So you're not just welcome, but you're wanted. We're really glad that you're here. And if you don't have a church community around this area, we would just love it if we could be of any help and assistance to you. So, well, I want to start by trying a little experiment here this afternoon. So if I say this phrase, I want to know if it means anything to you, this specific phrase, hello to Jason Isaacs. Lift your hand if anyone has any idea what I'm talking about. A few of the people who heard me preaching Cults, they're already, yes, because they've heard this talk. You know, spare a thought for these guys, by the way. They have to listen to this talk twice on a Sunday. So that was the same. And over in Cults, no one had a clue what that phrase, hello to Jason Isaacs, meant. Well, I asked that because I wanted to know if there were any fellow members of the church here. And I'm not talking about Kintore Community Church. I'm talking about the Church of Wittertainment. Now, before I, get fired, I'm going to explain what the Church of Wittertainment is. On Radio 5 Live, there's a movie review show, which is hosted by Mark Kermode and Simon Mayo. And it's colloquially known as Wittertainment. And over this, it's one of the most popular shows that they have on BBC Radio. Of the different podcasts that are downloaded, it's the fourth or fifth most popular downloaded podcast, I believe. Why are you so downcast? Because I don't have any fellow Wittertainees among me here. What they have is they've been running since 2001, and they've over the years have just developed all these different in-jokes to the extent that there's a huge website devoted to explaining what these different in-jokes are called Wittipedia.net, and you can check it out later. And one of the significant phrases they have is this phrase, hello to Jason Isaacs. And Jason Isaacs, some of you know, is an actor. Well, he's a friend of the show, and I won't bore you with the whole story, but if you come across someone who loves the Wittertainment radio show, the first thing that you will say to them is, hello to Jason Isaacs, and they will reply back to you, hello to Jason Isaacs, and you know that you are kindred spirits in that moment. Now, it doesn't mean anything to any of you, clearly. I'm judging that from the faces that are looking back at me right now. It didn't mean anything to the people in Cults either. But there is a point to why I'm sharing this right now, because, as I say, that phrase, hello to Jason Isaacs, doesn't mean anything to the vast majority of people in Britain, or in Kintore, apparently. But it does mean something to the cherished few who are part of the Wittertainment community. They love it. They get excited. If someone says that to them, they get excited, and they know that they're in cherished company at that point. Now, it's not just in the Church of Wittertainment that has little phrases like that. That notion of something being a precious phrase to one person but completely meaningless to others is not just true in radio movie review shows, but it also happens in the Church of Jesus Christ. Language which can be precious to some of us, can be second nature to some of us. We hear words, phrases, we know exactly what they mean, and they're meaningful, they're cherished, they're loved. But actually the reality is, to so many people around about us, the vast majority of our friends, family, neighbours, community, don't have a clue what on earth we are talking about. And maybe some of you experienced that here this afternoon. Some of the way Scott prayed, or some of what he shared, or some of the words on the screen, you're just thinking, what on earth is this you know, forget hello to Jason Isaacs, but what on earth is Scott talking about? What's Martin talking about just now? And that can be an unsettling experience, but it's just worth being honest about that. You find yourself going, what is going on here? That's a good question to ask. What is this all about? What's the Bible about? What are these songs about? What's this gathering all about? And not just here on a Sunday, but from Monday to Saturday, what is the Christian faith truly about? That's not a straightforward question. What is church? And maybe some of us have more of a disadvantage answering that question than others, because if you're like me, I came to church since I was -9 months old. And I've basically never left for any significant period of time. And some of these phrases that we use over and over again, or some of the practices that we have, just become second nature. I mean, you become used to them, when the reality is they're completely foreign to the vast majority of people across Aberdeenshire. What is the church? Well, I don't know about you, but I'm sure some of you got some nice Christmas presents in the last few weeks. And one of the presents I got was an Amazon Echo. Have you seen these things? This little speaker, and it's a little virtual digital assistant called Alexa. And I keep stumbling because I keep asking Alexa things and speaking about her as if she's a real person. So I'm probably going to do that just now. So you can tell Alexa to turn your heating up and your lights off, and you can ask her to tell you a joke, and she'll tell you a joke, and all that wonderfully helpful stuff that really makes a difference to your life, right? So I'm thinking about this question, what is the church? I think, well, let's ask Alexa what the church is and see what she has to say. So I went over to, I said, Alexa, what is the church? And her reply was interesting. She started like this. She said, a church building, well, I'll say the rest of what she said, but that's an interesting place to start. I mean, if you ask most people, what is a church? They'll think of a building. They might not think of Kintore Village Hall, right? They might think of the parish church building down the road, or they think of some gathering where people will come to meet. So you might think of a church building. Well, that's what Alexa said. And then she went on like this. Listen, a church building, the building or structure whose primary purpose is to facilitate the meeting of a church. I was like, well, thanks a lot, Alexa. That doesn't really provide a lot of clarity. I just asked you what a church is, and all you told me was, a church is a place where a church meets. And I'm like, well, I need a little more info than that. Well, Alexa's on to something, because, you know, this definition of a place whose primary purpose is to facilitate the meeting of a church. The word church, the original word in the Bible is ecclesia, and it literally means gathering, an assembly, a congregation. So this is in a sense a church. This is a gathering together of many people, friends, family, some who know God and love God, others who maybe don't, who are just checking in and saying hi, and that's fantastic. And that's what a church is. That's one definition of a church. But the New Testament in the Bible, we have the Old Testament and the New Testament. New Testament also gives lots of different pictures for how we can think about a church. And one of those pictures that I want to think about today is in Hebrews chapter 12. That a church is a group of people who are together running a race. That's one of the favorite pictures that the New Testament has for what church is. What is the church? The church is a group of runners who all have their eyes fixed on a great prize and who are running with great perseverance. Now, maybe some of you are a little like me and you're thinking, right, if it's to do with running, I'm out of this thing, right? And, well, don't worry, it's not actually literally talking about running. In fact, when I was typing this little thing up on my little Microsoft Word document, I had next to me a bowl of cheesy Doritos. And I'm thinking, Christianity is about running a race, and it's the best kind of race ever, because you can still eat cheesy Doritos as you run this race, or whatever other kind of Doritos you like as you run the race. Or we don't, yeah. Any crisps you can have, or shop, right? Okay, so I'm going to keep going. What is the church? Church is people who run a race. Let's find out about this. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 2. The writer says this: therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Some of these things that we've been singing about are coming up in these verses, right? The church is a group of people called to run a race, and they're called to run with endurance, and it's just not always easy, right? Anyone who's been around church, anyone who's sought to to know life with Christ, just knows that like no one here is ever going to tell you that it's everything is perfect and easy. There's a sense of enduring. There's a sense of persevering, right? And there's a few things in these verses that we can learn about the nature of this race. First of all, the church. What is the church? The church is part of the unfolding cosmic story of God and his people. The church is this part of the unfolding cosmic story of God and his people. So here we are, a few dozen people in Kintore in January in 2017. But this is not all that we are as the Church of Jesus Christ. Last week when we were at Hillview over in Cults, we were sort of had a commissioning service, and we were tracing back how Hillview was originally IBC, and how IBC was planted in 1979, and it was planted because a couple from Texas decided that they wanted to have a church like similar to their one back home in Aberdeen. So they traveled from Texas to establish this church in Aberdeen. But the story of our church, the story of Kintore Community Church, goes back way further than that. And this passage in Hebrews 12, the writer draws our attention to that because he says there in verse 1, the very first word, therefore. Now, it's a very cheesy little quip, but it is helpful. When you see a therefore, you have to ask what it's. I know it's cheesy, but it does help. So you see, well, what's he talking about? Therefore what? So what has been going on in chapter 11 is that the writer of Hebrews has been tracing the story of God's people right from the very, very start of creation through the centuries of God's people to this point. And then we get this word, therefore, since we are, and then he's going to tie it back to chapter 11 again, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. So he's saying that we're not just about the here and now. There is a context to this church that we are about. And what this serves to do is it lifts our eyes away from January the 15th, 2017 in Kintore, just from our little gathering here today, to see the much bigger story that God is unfolding. That's a humbling thing to think that this story of God's love for his people has been unfolding over century after century after century. And here we are as a little part of that story. And there's something humbling about that. You can almost say, that makes us feel so insignificant, right? But there's something very appropriate about that, feeling like that. You know, when you go up a beautiful mountain range and you stand on the edge and you look around, you don't feel very big in that moment. You don't feel very important, but you feel like you're in the right place. That sense of awe and wonder at something bigger than you is something that human beings were inbuilt with. We're built to look beyond ourselves, to lift our eyes to something bigger than just the here and now. And that's the story of the church, is part of that beautiful cosmic story of God over all times and all places. Church is not just one extra club. We don't just want to be an extra diary commitment for you for a few hours more every week. That's not what church is about. We are a part of this amazing story of God across all eternity. You say, well, to what end? What does that mean for me for here now? Well, yeah, that's great in some weird abstract way. Maybe some of us get energized by that. Some of us are fired up by that. Some of us, you know, feel inspired by that. Some of us think, well, that makes me feel like I want to be part of this. And then for others of you, you think, whoa. I'm a pretty simple guy. Like I can't handle a whole lot of like abstract information. My family and I watched Eddie the Eagle yesterday, the film Eddie the Eagle, and I was like sobbing about three times during that film. That's about the level that I can cope with of big cosmic stories. You know, Eddie the Eagle I can cope with almost, but this cosmic story of God, what are you talking about? Well, you might think that in that context of this amazing story that, well, what does that mean for me? But the gospel of Jesus Christ is just full of surprise after surprise after surprise. It's no burden to place yourself within that story. Because the writer says, therefore, because of this story, since we are surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses, therefore, because of that, let us also lay aside every weight. The church is a place to lay down your burdens. Let us lay aside every weight. What are your burdens that you've come with this afternoon? And he says, let us also. Just like this great cloud of witnesses, just like these people that he's listed in chapter 11, let us lay aside these weights that we carry, these burdens that we carry. And the thing about this great cloud of witnesses in Hebrews chapter that Hebrews chapter 12 mentions is, actually, they're not all that great. Hebrews chapter 11 just lists individual after individual who messed it up, who made mistakes, who stumbled, whose lives were full of brokenness, full of division, full of chaos, full of plunder and mess and sin and sadness. And the one thing that links them, as you read Hebrews 11, the one thing that the writer comes back to time and time again is that they had faith. They had faith. They weren't a great cloud of people, apart from the fact that they put their faith in one who carried them through the storms of life, who gave them hope, that they could put their trust in God. That's what makes this great cloud of witnesses great. And the writer in chapter 12 is saying, just like them, just like they had faith in God, therefore, cast off your burden. Put your trust in God. Us too can be part of that story where we cast our burden on God. And you remember the context of this race. Cast off every weight and run the race. If you think of Mo Farah, he doesn't run with perseverance, with heavy boots on, heavy clothes. He needs to get rid of all that so he can run well. And that's the same for us as well. And I don't know what burdens you're carrying. I don't know what brings a heaviness into your life. I know for me, there are things that wake me up in the middle of the night. There are things that I come back to week after week. Issues in my life that I wish I didn't have. Problems that I encounter. And also as a pastor, I'm regularly speaking with people who are dealing with illness, with family breakdown, with division and anger and frustration. And we all come with that sense of burden and problem. And this verse says, like these great people who have gone before us, not great in the sense that they had it all together, but just great in the sense that they gave their burden to a God that they could trust. So we, as we run this race, can do that as well. You say, well, how on earth do I do that? Well, Psalm 55, verse 22 says, cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. So cast your burden, give it to God. And then in Matthew chapter 11, we read these beautiful words from the Lord Jesus. Says this, Jesus says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. Same thing, right? And I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. What do you do with your burden? Jesus says, come to me. Give it to me. The fourth and fifth century church father, Augustine, wrote this. He said, I have read in Plato and Cicero sayings that are wise and beautiful, but I have never read in either of them, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. The church is a place where we can lay down our burdens, give them over to God, and put our trust in him. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which clings so closely. So we lay down our burdens, and also in the church we find a place to escape the trap of sin. Now there's a word you don't hear very often, right? Sin. The word sin is to almost everyone in our community like the phrase hello to Jason Isaacs was to all of you guys at the start of this message. Just like, what are you talking? You know, when you go into work tomorrow, you will not likely say, you know, hi, how's it going? How was your weekend? What about those football scores, eh? How's that sin going in your life? And seen any movies? This is not a commonly used word anymore. But it's here in the Bible, so we want to kind of take it seriously. What is this word sin talking about? Well, lay aside every burden, and the church is a place to escape the trap of sin. And the thing about this word sin is that we do have a sense of it. We may not understand that word. We may not use that word regularly. But everyone has a sense that things aren't as they should be in the world, right? You turn on the TV, you hear a story of horrific evil, you see some pain and suffering in someone's life who didn't deserve it, and you look on, you say, this world is not like it's meant to be. Something is wrong, something is broken, something is messed up in this world. And it's easy to acknowledge that, maybe at arm's length. It's also easy to see that in other people. They shouldn't have done that to me. But it's perhaps less easy to acknowledge the reality of sin in our own lives. But I love the way that it's put here in this verse in Hebrews 12:1, because it's described as this which clings to us, I think the NIV puts it, which entangles us. I think the New Living Translation puts the sin, get rid of the sin which trips us up. Again, you know, you think of the picture of a race, and you sometimes see in a long distance race, especially, you know, if one person near the front of the thing falls, and before you know it, there's this horrible, tangled mess of bodies, just they've all stumbled and fallen. And that's the picture here, is that sin is that which trips us up, sin is that which pulls us down. And again, so just ask, what are those issues in your own life where you know that this is not how I'm meant to be? The way you speak to you, those closest to you, the things that you look at that you maybe know you shouldn't look at, the language you use, the thoughts you have, the aggression you experience, what are those things where you just know this is not how life was meant to be? And if you're willing to get honest about the reality of life, this is another thing that you'll hear us come up time and time again in Kintore Community Church, that we want to be honest about the reality of life. And certainly a big part of that is dealing with suffering in our lives and helping one another walk through hard times of suffering. But another part of just being real about life is acknowledging the reality that we are, to use the Bible word, we are sinners. That God has a plan for our lives, and we've chosen a different path from that time and time again. And we see the effects of that in our life. And we can, if we're honest with ourselves, then we can deal with it. And the writer says, cast off this sin which entangles you, which is tripping you up over and over again. Lay it aside. Lay it aside. We want this church to be a place where you can deal with that. These are the most important, most serious issues that we can ever face. And you say, well, how do I do that? I know I can't deal with that alone. Do you ever try dealing with these issues on your own over and over again? The same things just come up time and again. Well, in these verses, it makes clear you actually, not only do you not need to do it on your own, but you can't deal with this on your own, because the fourth and final thing I want to share is that the church is a place of perfect hope in Jesus Christ. Lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus. Always comes back to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of God. Jesus is the one that we are to look to, the one who is to be at the very center of our gaze. And this word here in Hebrews 12:2 is about, it's a very specific word. It's about taking our gaze away from that which we would put our trust in to get through life, to deal with life, and taking our gaze away from those things and fixing our eyes on the only one who can truly carry us through and deal with even our sinfulness. Why is this? Why is it that is Jesus the one who can carry us through that? Because he is the one who makes our faith complete. He says that he is the founder of our faith. He is at the root of our faith. He is the source of our faith. He is the perfecter of our faith. We're not just about some abstract spirituality here. We're about faith in Jesus Christ, the living God. And he is the one who makes that faith perfect, who makes it real, who makes it ongoing and effectual. And all of that is made possible, not because of ourselves, not because we are great, but because of what he's done. That's the point of this verse, that he went to the cross. He endured the cross, despising the shame, but he didn't stay on the cross. but that he rose again, as Scott prayed earlier, he rose again from the dead. That is at the heart of Christianity, that Jesus died, that he rose, that he ascended into heaven, and it says here that he is seated at the right hand of God. And one of the things I love, that in the New Testament, when it paints pictures of heaven, sometimes the people look into heaven and there's a picture of Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Like, for example, in Acts chapter 7, I think it is, when Stephen is being killed for being a Christian, suffering persecution, he looks up into heaven and he says he sees Jesus standing at the right hand of God. What does that communicate? That Jesus is active. He's there. He's ready to help Stephen. He's involved. So he's standing. In your problems, with your burdens, with your challenges, Jesus is standing in heaven just now. He's there for you. He wants to be involved in your life. But in terms of the work of Jesus Christ in dying and rising again and providing forgiveness for our sins, what does it say? It says that he is seated at the right hand of God. His work is done. That's why we come with such certain and sure hope. That's why Christians believe that we can say our sins are forgiven. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. My chains are gone. I've been set free, past tense. Because Jesus is seated at the right hand of God. So we fix our eyes on him. I love when you see when when Usain Bolt wins the 100 meter sprint, and at the end of the race, you get the camera at the end of the lane, and it's the one where he's looking at it the whole time, and his eyes are fixed on the prize. His eyes are fixed on the finish line. Actually, Usain Bolt kind of ruins the illustration, because about 20 meters before the end, he's just like glancing around because he's so far ahead. But most sprinters, they keep their eyes on the prize right till the end. The heartbeat of this church is that we want to be a people, and we get it wrong all the time, and we come back to God and we thank him for his forgiveness and his mercy time and time again. But we want to be a people who keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, because it's in him that our hope is certain and sure. The church is a place of perfect hope in Jesus. And I just want to share briefly that we're really excited about this coming year, because what we're doing in the sermons over 2017 is we're going to look from Genesis, the first book of the Bible, to Revelation, to the last book of the Bible. And we're going to see, how does Jesus tie into the whole story of the Bible? And some of you have seen this book. It's called the Jesus Storybook Bible. And we're not going to preach from the Jesus Storybook Bible. We're going to preach from the Bible. There's a little difference there. But we are going to follow the structure of the chapter headings in the Jesus Storybook Bible. And we're going to track some of the big Bible stories that some of you might know, some of you might not know. And we're going to see how Jesus is at the center of what the Bible presents. And we're really excited to see how his love for you and me is through the whole pages of the scriptures, from Genesis to Revelation. So my closing encouragement to us all is, could we be a people into the future that fixes our eyes on Jesus Christ, the author and perfecter of our faith? What are you fixing your eyes on? As you deal with your burdens, as you deal with that sense of sin and disappointment and struggle where you know that you've messed up, what is it that, where are you looking to find that sense of hope that will carry you through? Family? Work? I mean, we know, right? These things are not certain and sure. Even the best, most closest families in the world experience loss and hardship. Even the best, most flourishing economies in the world, as Aberdeen would have been, experience struggle and hardship. What are you looking to? What are you fixing your eyes on for that certain and sure hope that tomorrow is going to be okay? Well, I want to encourage you to fix your eyes on Jesus Christ. In him, we are part of an incredible cosmic story of hope and life and healing and purpose. In him, you can give him all your burdens, all your weights, all the wrongs that have been done to you. You can cast your burdens on him because he cares for you. And in him, you can find forgiveness and hope for the wrong things that all of us have done. There's a lovely song which is an old hymn. It says, "Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace." Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this time this afternoon. Thank you for this space. Thank you for this new moment, this new day. Lord, we have no idea what's ahead in the coming months. It's just going to be so exciting just seeing it all unfold. There will definitely be hard times. There will definitely be amazing times. But we just thank you that one thing we can be sure of is that Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of God. That he has gone to the cross of Calvary, that he took on himself the punishment for the wrong things that we've done, that he has risen again, that he has beaten the power of death, that he has beaten the power of sin, that he has provided a solution for those deepest, darkest moments of strain and stress and shame that we all feel. And God, we thank you that Jesus is real. We thank you that there's people here in Contour Community Church who have traveled through dark trials, difficult things, and who are able to testify that Jesus has carried them through day in, day out, week in, week out. And I just pray that we would keep our eyes fixed on him. And I just pray for anyone here this afternoon who all this talk has been kind of new, kind of weird maybe. I pray that by the power of your Spirit, that you would come now and rest in this place. And that heart of Christ which says, "Come to me, anyone who's weary and burdened. Come to me and I'll give you rest." Holy Spirit, I pray that you would whisper that into the hearts of us all here this afternoon. We acknowledge a world of pain and brokenness. We acknowledge our own dark hearts. We acknowledge our need for you. We ask that you come and meet us there.